Hello and welcome to The Debate. I'm Kawit Tafwe. The presidential primary is upon the Americans in the U.S. and after the shocking slide of Hillary Clinton, perhaps not a shock to some, and Donald's Trump defeat by Ted Cruz, the New Hampshire primary may decide who will be taking the lead. Candidates from both parties are making last-minute attempts to swing voters to their side on the day of the first in the nation presidential primary. In this edition of The Debate, we're going to discuss what agendas the candidates have, both at home and abroad, and whether Sanders' rise means that he will overtake Hillary Clinton. Let's first get an update about this from our correspondent, Colin Campbell, who joins us from Washington. Well, Colin, tell us, there's a little bit of voting that has taken place in a small town that may indicate where New Hampshire is going to be going. But overall, what can you tell us going into it?
Well, definitely, this is something that Bernie Sanders wants to show that he can be and take a lasting impact against Hillary Clinton. Now, you have Hillary Clinton, who won the Iowa caucus, but by a slim margin. And of course, this is something that the Sanders campaign has been using to their advantage because of the fact that it's been heavily criticized as his democratic socialist platform was not conducive to what the future of America should look like. However, he says that the standing that he made in Iowa shows a refutation of that theory, and he hopes to show that a win in New Hampshire can create a foothold in some of the momentum that he hopes to carry throughout the primary race.
But isn't this somewhat exaggerated when it's close to his hometown in terms of the lead that he's obviously going to take over Hillary Clinton?
Yes, Bernie Sanders has been following the polls in New Hampshire for a long time, and it is next door to Vermont, which could give a false lead. But he says that even though that happens, Hillary Clinton still has a very large name recognition, and therefore it shouldn't be underestimated whether or not he wins and does defeat Hillary Clinton quite handily, whether or not there is a stronger and lasting influence of these primary races. Now, there is one thing to note here. If Hillary Clinton does come close to Bernie Sanders in the amount of in the primary race, it shows that he could be losing some of the influence that he thought he would have in a large proportion over Hillary Clinton. But a lot of experts don't believe that's going to happen here. So even though it is in proximity to Vermont, of where he's a senator, he has to win quite handily to show that his influence, his platform, his message is resonating very well with voters. If there is only a slight margin, kind of like what we saw in Iowa, it could show that Sanders is extremely vulnerable here, and the Clinton campaign could use that to its advantage.
Very well, we appreciate it. Thank you very much, our correspondent there, Colin Campbell, talking to us there from Washington. Let's get down to the analysis of this all. We have founder and editor-in-chief of opednews.com, Rob Call, who joins us from Philadelphia. We have founder of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane, who joins us from Washington. Gentlemen, welcome. Let me start with you, Michael Lane. New Hampshire, the little state with the big voice, why does New Hampshire matter at this point?
Well, New Hampshire matters in very outsized proportion to what it should, only because it's at the very beginning of the process. One of the things that really helps a candidate as they go through the process is momentum. And when you win some of the early states, it develops a perceived momentum, particularly in the press, which is where people get their information, and that artificially catapults you higher and higher in the polls and puts you closer to the nomination itself. New Hampshire has a long tradition of being one of the very first states. It is said that the voters there take very seriously their responsibility to whittle down the field to those people who are most likely to succeed. I personally don't buy into that. I think any state that went first would be like that, but that's the reason that New Hampshire is artificially inflated in terms of its importance.
So we got two breakdowns, Rob Call, going into this, that this is going to decide and weed out some of the Republicans on one hand, and then the other being obviously how Sanders is going to take the lead over Clinton. Is this pretty much the scenario going into New Hampshire and the results of what it may indicate?
I think so. New Hampshire has a lot of independents. That's important for the anticipating the general election because there are so many independents. It can mislead in terms of the next collection of primaries, because the other primaries you're going to see more straight Democratic votes. So when we're looking at New Hampshire, we want to look at how the Democrats vote as compared to how the independents vote. And we want to look at how the women over 40 vote, because they're mostly leaning for Hillary in the polling. So it's going to tell us a lot about where things are going to go.
Do you think, Michael Lane, that the Republican side is overcrowded, and the Democratic side, you're just looking really at Clinton? Because that's what's, well, in a sense, that's the general perception, especially from the outside looking in. Of course, we've noticed the gains made by Sanders.
Right. Well, let me start with the Democratic side. You know, you've got essentially two candidates there. It's been two all along. Governor O'Malley from Maryland never really amounted to much of a campaign. So you've had Hillary Clinton, which is the establishment Democrat, the longstanding Clinton machine Democrat, versus Bernie Sanders, the insurgent, the socialist, the one who cares about people, et cetera. Bernie represents the future, I think, of where the Democratic Party is going. Hillary represents the establishment of what it has been for the past 20, 30 years. On the Republican side, are there too many candidates? Well, it depends on who you are. Look, as long as there's this many candidates, the vote can be divided. If I'm a Donald Trump person, I want to keep every candidate in the race, because I know if I get 25% to 30% in every single contest, that will be the winning margin, because with the vote divided among 8 or 9 other candidates, there's no way anybody's going to catch me. If I'm one of the other 8 candidates, I'm hoping that many of my opponents will drop out, because if they do, then the vote starts to consolidate. And when you get one-on-one against Trump, or two-on-one against Trump, or something like that, the results have the possibility of coming out substantially different, and Donald Trump won't do nearly as well as he looks like he's doing today.
Well, let's talk about some of the candidates now, Rob Call. Donald Trump, since Michael Lane talked about him, he has said that he's going to bring back interrogation techniques that are going to be worse than waterboarding. How is that going to sit with voters?
I think that his voters are going to probably like it. He's a shock jock, basically. He says things to shock people. He says things that resonate with angry, frustrated people who are feeling that they are betrayed by the system, and that's who he's getting. So he's going to keep doing that. He's going to curse. He's going to use foul language, and it's going to shock the mainstream media, and it's going to keep boosting his popularity among the people who are responding to him.
Well, that's one thing that's...
I wanted to talk a little bit about the mainstream media.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Rob Call.
And Hillary and Sanders, because what you see if you look at mainstream American media is you see a systematic attempt to elect Hillary Clinton. You've got on every news channel anchors who are supposed to be independent journalists framing questions in a way that makes Bernie Sanders look bad, look like a socialist, look like a crazy man, and Hillary Clinton look like the inevitable winner. Fortunately, the American people are smarter than the mainstream media and their anchors, because it's not happening the way they want it to. What's very interesting is it looks like the establishment Democrats all the way up to the White House are totally freaking out. And that's a language that I didn't come up with that language. They're freaking out because they may not be in control of the person who is running for president. They may not be in control of the White House like they used to be, and that could make things very different.
Well, Michael Lane.
The op-ed news that I published, we've been...
Go ahead, Rob. Well, let's bring in Michael Lane into this, and then we'll get back to you. Michael Lane, what I'm noticing here is Clinton representing the establishment. If you can expand a little bit for us what you meant by that, but the past 20, 30 years, that's establishment, the way you described it.
Well, I describe the establishment as the people who are essentially predominant in the Democratic Party over the last 20, 30 years. You've got the Clinton machine, which was put together by Secretary Clinton and her husband in his run for the White House back in 1992. These are the people who have, they called themselves the New Democrats as they came to office back in the early 90s, and they're the ones who have predominantly run the Democratic Party, identified the issues, and pushed the Democratic Party in the direction to which it's gone. Now, Bernie Sanders, on the other hand, he's the insurgent. He's the one that rejects the Clinton machine. He's the one who rejects the direction of the Democratic Party in the last year. In fact, Bernie Sanders is such an insurgent. He for the most part rejects President Obama and what he's been doing. He thinks, you know, on balance, President Obama has been too aggressive on foreign policy, too much of a warmonger, etc. He thinks he has not been anywhere near aggressive enough on social programs domestically here in the United States. If people think that fundamentally Obama has been able to change the direction of the United States, apart from what it was before his election, I don't think they've seen anything until Bernie Sanders becomes president of the United States, who's going to double, triple, and quadruple down on President Obama, his policies, his tactics, and take them even further. I would note, however, that I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell that Bernie Sanders is ever going to be the nominee of the Democratic Party. If indeed Hillary Clinton falters to the point where it looks like Bernie Sanders is going to be the one, I think, quote, the establishment Democrats are going to step in, persuade Mrs. Clinton to step aside, and bring Joe Biden in to be the salvation of the Democratic Party if it comes to that.
Do you agree with that, Rob Call?
Oh, absolutely not. That's nonsense. It's really the delusion that the establishment Democratic Party has is that they've got a shot now. Bernie Sanders woke up the American people, particularly young people, and they realize now that they don't have to take it anymore. Enough is enough. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised that Joe Biden might be brought in, but that's just more old wine in a new bottle, really old wine. So you're going to see Joe Biden replace Hillary. That's a joke. And it is an affront to the young people who are getting so excited about elections where they've been so turned off before. Yeah, the establishment is going to do everything it can to attack Bernie. And then when he wins the primary, which I really think he will at this point, when he wins, hell is going to rain down on him, because Goldman Sachs and the billionaires that he has been talking about taking down, they're going to spend hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, to attack him. But Bernie wins when people attack him. That's the history. So as much as they attack him, he's going to come out ahead. I believe that.
Michael Lane, it seems like you have a reaction.
And I've been following Bernie for over 10 years.
Yeah. Go ahead, Michael Lane.
If I may. You know, the reason I don't think that Bernie Sanders has a chance of getting the nomination is because of the rules of the convention of the Democratic Party. Fully 20%, I believe, of the delegates to the Democratic Convention, which will pick the ultimate nominee, are not elected by primary. They're not found and advanced through by caucus. They are what they call superdelegates, who are 20% of the convention floor is establishment politicians who are overwhelmingly supporting Hillary Clinton at this point and will only abandon Hillary Clinton if there's another establishment alternative to Mrs. Clinton, which I believe would be Vice President Joe Biden if it came to that. These are people, 20% of the floor of the convention, who will never under any circumstances vote for Bernie. That means that if Bernie Sanders really wants to win this convention, he's got to win about 66% of all the Democrats contested throughout the entire process. And that's just such an unlikely scenario in my mind that he would ever be able to do that. It's not going to happen. I just can't see that the Democratic Party would advance a guy who is essentially unelectable. And in my view, Bernie Sanders is unelectable because he describes himself as a socialist, which means he rejects the political tenets that have allowed America to build itself into the great country that it is today, to create the wealth, capitalism, those kinds of things. And the country, although maybe down the road ready to embrace Bernie Sanders politics, I hope not, they are not ready to do it today.
Is that the case? Rob Call.
Oh, so, you know, you have between us a Hillary supporter, I would guess, and I'm a Bernie supporter. What I believe is that Bernie's message and his values are exactly what people want. You're Republican. Oh, okay, so you don't want either one of them. I would say that Bernie's values are exactly what we need right now, and I agree on the superdelegates. The superdelegates, but here's the deal. If it requires the superdelegates to take away a win that Bernie has based on people voting, it will tear the Democratic Party apart, and it will create such a turnoff that the Republicans will win. People will stay home. Almost every young person I talk to who is a Bernie supporter says they won't vote for Hillary. They may stay home, they may vote for the Green candidate. Hillary is not going to get all the people who Bernie gets. It's just not going to happen. And the superdelegates and the Democratic Party are going to figure this out. You know, they said the same thing back when Obama was running, too. The superdelegates were going to be the way that Hillary was going to be saved. It's not going to happen. Hillary is a top-down candidate who uses big money and big power, big influence. Bernie is a bottom-up candidate. It's one of his favorite phrases, that change happens from the bottom up. And that's what we're going to see. What we're going to see is that those superdelegates are going to either back off or they're going to get rid of it altogether. I've started a petition that the Democratic Party should get rid of superdelegates. They started it years ago because they freaked out when they had another insurgent who was not controlled by the establishment. And I think it's the best thing happening to America that we've got two people who are not establishment people. I'm no big fan of Donald Trump, but he is not going to take orders from anybody, and that is a good thing. And Bernie's the same way.
Okay, well, Michael Lane, you said you're a Republican. So since you opened that door up, I wasn't going to ask you. So you might as well throw in which one and why.
Well, I personally haven't made my decision yet, although I have very strong leanings at this point, which I'd be glad to disclose. But let me first say, I don't think that the nominee of the Republican Party is going to be Donald Trump, notwithstanding the fact that he has held the lead, and he has held the lead substantially over the last 6 months. I believe that he has hit a ceiling, and as I described earlier, as the field, if it's Trump against the field, as the field whittles down and the non-Trump vote starts to consolidate, when it becomes Trump against one or Trump against two or something like that, I believe that, you know, as he hits 30% of the vote, he's pretty much in a peak situation, which allows for one of his opponents, once the field whittles down, to come up a little bit further up the chain and start to challenge him. Secondly, if the Republican contest goes on and on and on to the point where nobody wins a first ballot victory, that being defined as no one has a majority of the convention delegates going into the convention, then it becomes essentially an open or a brokered convention. And again, Mr. Trump will have his 30 to 35% of the delegates, but it's almost impossible to envision where he would pick up more support. Again, it's almost the Trump versus the non-Trump coalitions. So it will be somebody else who dominates the convention on the second, third, and fourth ballots, or however many it takes to get that point. So that's why I don't think Mr. Trump is actually going to be the nominee. If he gets lucky and he starts to run the table, if he wins New Hampshire today, which I believe he will, if he wins South Carolina in about 2 weeks, which I believe he will, or next week, which I believe he will, but then I don't see where he continues to win, and they're all proportional representation anyway, so he's only picking up a third of the delegates at the time. That's not enough to get a first ballot victory at the convention. Mm-hmm. My personal preference at this point, although I'm certainly open to change, I think that the Republican Party needs someone who can best unify them to have the best chance of victory in November. And all policies aside, I believe that person who can best unify the Republican Party is Senator Rubio of Florida.
Okay, so there you have it, Michael Lane making that public. Well, Rob Call, I'm getting the feeling, just like many, that perhaps the more money you spend, the better chance you have. We heard about how Trump is going to spend all his money. We might have Michael Bloomberg may be entering the race, and he's a billionaire, and of course the ties that Clinton has with well, banks and Wall Street. Is it all about money and how much you spend that may obviously bring in votes?
Well, I think it's an obscenity that the Supreme Court made the Citizens United decision, and it's one of the reasons I think that people are supporting Bernie. They want to end that, the way that billionaires can buy elections. The idea that Jeb Bush spent over $2,500 for every vote that he won in Iowa is insane. But I don't think it's working. The Koch brothers and other billionaires have not been able to buy the elections that they wanted to. Bernie is not super wealthy, and Hillary had more money, and she's losing. Trump is being characterized as being stingy and cheap because he's not spending that much money. He's getting a lot of free media coverage. And, you know, that's the reality. You know, money is important. You know, if Mike Bloomberg comes into it, he could be a spoiler. I'm not sure how that's going to work. But, yeah, he's got so much money, and it shouldn't be. But I'm one of the people who believes that we should de-billionaireize the planet, that there should be no billionaires allowed, that it should be against the law to have that much money because it buys too much power.
There you go. We're going to end it on that. Let me thank our guests. First, we had our correspondent, Press TV in Washington, Colin Campbell, spoke to us. And founder and editor-in-chief of op-ednews.com, that is Rob Call, who spoke to us from Philadelphia. And, of course, Michael Lane, founder of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, who spoke to us from Washington. Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. For Mikhail Vitale and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, is goodbye.